Amen. Dankie julle. Clarence is goed op die dromme, man. Man van vele talente. Dankie, Mark, julle. Ja. I think we've heard a lot about the Word of God in the past couple of weeks. And I'm just gonna continue adding on to it, or maybe saying a few things that you might have heard already, but yeah, it's just really awesome to find out new truths and to really meditate on these things. So my sermon tonight, the name of it, it's not going to be up there, it's the Word Foundation, as in the Bible as our foundation. So if you want to write it down there, to if you save the thing, the Word Foundation. Okay, so, yeah. Just to start with a question tonight. What would you say is the most important part of a building? Do we have any engineers? Yeah, we've got some engineers. Foundation. I gave it away in the name of the sermon. But yeah, that's the truth. It is a foundation, and the thing about it is, before I carry on, I just want to say I listened to a sermon of Ravi Zacharias. I don't know if all of you know him, but and the talk that he had was the answers to life's questions, or the answers to life's difficult questions. I don't know if any one of you have heard it before. No one. Okay. Because a lot of the things while I was just listening to this guy, it just opened up so many things about the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to go and listen to it as well. It's really cool. But the fact of the matter is, all of us, or everyone in the world, is standing on a foundation. And if you know a bit about building, and I'll explain a bit of it to you now as well, is that your foundation determines the decisions that you make after that. So if your foundation is, before you lay the first brick, your foundation must be there. And according to that foundation, it basically tells you what kind of building you can build on that foundation. If you have a design for a one-story building, you can't build a three-story building on that foundation. Your building will fall over. So, saying that is, the Word Foundation is our point of reference. That's the thing in our lives, the concrete thing from where we must make our decisions, is the Word. And, you know, there's so many points of references in these days, you know, like people making decisions, standing on foundations, that's not the Word. And anything else, anything that's not the Word, this is the right way. So, yeah. In this time that we're in, there's so many, many influences from outside. If you look at the social media, at television, even the newspapers, you know, the way people do business these days, music is a big one. I mean, when you come to know the Lord and you get saved and the Lord saves you, that's always a big thing to music, the influence that music has on you. And I just want us to go back to our own foundation tonight and just have a look at what it is. Is the foundation the Word Foundation, or what is it? And I'm telling you, in these times, we need to really know what our foundation is, because that will determine our decisions. Just to explain it a bit further, is like use an example of in business, when you have to pay tax. Say you cheat on your tax. That's a principle in your life. That's not a spur of the moment decision that you make there. That is something that is a principle in your life that's not there. That when the time comes, you cheat on your tax and that's it. It's not something that's just like, it doesn't matter. It is a concrete principle thing in your life that needs to be right. So it is actually a premeditated thing, if you want to call it like that, or a pre-context thing. The context from where you're coming is already there. And that needs to be the word. So I think that's clear. Okay, so, yeah, I just want to ask a question. I think we are few enough that we can talk a bit tonight. What is this to you? What do you think when I hold this? What do you see? A manual. Truth. Good news. Bible with two covers. What's here, Saki? Yeah. You know, for many people, this is... I just thought of a few examples for what we sometimes use this. Sometimes it's just the book to give us comfort, to in our own comfort zones, you know, just to fill all the gaps and just make sure that everything is in place. You know, we just take out the things that we feel comfortable with, and then that's it. Now, if you look at the movies these days, a lot of the movies are based on stories in this book, so the worldview of it is, it's also becoming a lot of entertainment. The old stories, they just, and it's also a bit sick if you look at all the wrong doctrines and things coming into it as well. And then maybe this has just been a routine thing for you. Maybe you just read the Bible because that's how you were brought up, but it's not really having an influence on you. It's not your foundation. It's just a routine thing, and you're not reading the Bible with inspired by the Holy Spirit. You're just reading it, and God isn't really talking to you, and you're just carrying on with your life. So let's see what the Word says about it. The Word says that we must live by the Word of the Lord. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. You can put it up there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Every word. Not just the things that we like of it. Every single word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord, we must live by. Then, just another scripture. God's word is pure. Proverbs 30 verse 5 to 6. Every word of God is pure. Every word of God is pure. Do not add to His words. You know, sometimes when we read the word and we share the word with someone, or if we think about it ourselves, you know, we read something and we say, oh, but you know, in that time it was a bit different, and we kind of tend to add to the word and just make it like it fits our little worlds. But this word is pure, and we shouldn't add to it. Okay, I'm just giving a few facts of that I just came across. Now I just wanna speak about four main things tonight. In terms of what we need to understand to really grasp the Word and to really get into the Word, that I felt. Okay, the first thing I want to speak about is eternity. We must understand when we read this Word that this Word is eternal. It's not a temporal thing. We are eternal beings. Our bodies are temporary, but our spirit man is eternal. And yeah, I just want to read the scripture, John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was. It starts with "in the beginning was." I just want to stop there. That sums up the whole eternity perspective. In the beginning was. That says to me that it talks about the uncreated being. It talks about the Word, which is Jesus, that is eternal. He's been forever. And from that place of being outside of time, He created the world. So, yeah, let's talk a bit about time. You know, time is if you think a bit longer about time and the fact that eternity is a place outside of time, it's very difficult to think about it, because we are all in time. We've never been outside of time. We don't know what it is. We don't know how it feels, or how it feels not to get older, or how it feels like we've got so many kids in church. You know, every 6 months that you see the kids, they grow so much. You say, "Oh, time passed so quickly." You know, it's kind of part of who we are. But it's saying that it's such a weird concept, actually, to be in time. You know, and just to give an example of this eternity perspective is, or and us being in time, is like a fish being in water. You know, the fact that if the fish says, listen, yeah, this water is weird, you know, this wetness of this water is kind of weird, you know, that's actually a weird thing for a fish to say. Except if he was created to live on dry land. Because that is the perspective that we must have of eternity. We are in time now. The things that we do are temporal things now. The Word of God is eternal. Our spirits are eternal. The things that we do have eternal consequences. Using an example of a world leader, maybe, you know, killing millions of people and at the end of it all, just killing himself. You know, if in a temporal world, if we see the world as temporal, everything is over there. You know, where's the justice in that? God is just, you know, and the things we do in this world has eternal consequences. What about hope if we lose a loved one? You know, I learned so much about eternal perspective. I lost my sister and my dad over the past 10 or 12 years. And, you know, that just gave me a place where I could come to God and say, listen, God, you need to help me now. And, you know, it was just a place where I realized and where God really showed me what it means to be eternal. And the fact that even if our bodies die here, that we can have hope for the future, that we can have hope to see our loved ones again. Okay. So, just another thing, you know, a lot of times we base a lot of things in our life on temporal things. Like, maybe your dad is giving you a lot of advice, or people in this world is giving you a lot of advice, and, you know, it's like something that your family has been doing for many years. But this book is much older than your family. It's much older than the person you learn from, and that is this is the eternal thing that we must, the foundation that we must work off. I want you the whole time while I'm speaking, just remember what we're talking about, the word foundation. The second thing I want to talk about is morality. You know, the modern world doesn't like absolutes. Everything is relative. You know, everything is relative. But this word is absolute. You must think about it a bit. Relativeness, you know, all truth is relative. If I can use an example of a man, say a man commits a sin and he takes a woman against her will and he rapes her, basically. And the whole trial goes to court and everything comes out. Now, you know, where the world is moving to is that they say, no, listen, this woman was dressing in a sexual way. So, I mean, it's actually her fault that it happened to her. You know, the world is turning away from morality, basically. It's putting the victim in a place where it's a guilty party. And the fact that the rape was committed is relative to the situation. But that's not what the word is. The word is very clear, and it's absolute. And the world doesn't like it today. And we must understand that the basis of morality is in here. If you can think of I just want to give you another example. If you sit in a car at a red robot, and you stop at the red robot, and you look at the car next to you and it's moving, what do you do? You usually press harder on the brake to make sure that you're not the one moving. And then if you look out the window and the car's still moving, you have to look at something else that's concrete, that's steadfast, like a building or something, that you can know, listen, yeah, okay, I'm not moving or I am moving. Hopefully the building doesn't move around. So that's just an illustration to understand that this is what we have to look at. We can't look at a situation. And then just looking at the statement at itself, Ravi explained it so nicely. You know, the statement, all truth is relative. That statement is one of two things. It's either true for what it says, all truth is relative, so that statement is also part of the fact that it can be sometimes not true because it's relative, or it's putting itself outside of that, outside of itself, and saying, listen, yeah, this statement is absolute, which also contradicts what it's saying. So in the root of the statement itself, it doesn't make sense. So yeah, that's the second thing. So the first thing is eternal, and the second thing is morality. The third thing I want to speak about tonight that we have to understand when reading the Word and spending time in the Word is accountability. And the fact that we are accountable beyond human eyes, which means that what you do behind closed doors, you're also going to be accountable for that. Now, sometimes we can put up a face easily, but at the end, we're gonna be accountable to God. And the thing that the world shows us today is that, listen, yeah, we've arrived. You know, we're not doing this traditional things anymore of the Word, and you know, there's no law. So if there's no law, what it comes down to is, if there's no rules, you can't be wrong. So you have arrived. You've arrived at a place that everything goes and everything is just moving forward. That's what the Word is saying. But you know what? It's not a modern thing. It's not a postmodern thing. That happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve already. They went against it and said that, listen, yeah, we wanna know what is good and evil. And that is what the modern world shows. Look into yourself, and we are very spiritual, or the world out there is very spiritual, looking inside themselves to find out what is good and evil. Kind of figuring it out life for themselves. You get all these kinds of meditations and things where you look into yourself for the answer. And it's not a modern thing. It happened already in the beginning when they ate the fruit and they wanted to know for themselves what is good and evil. So, accountability. Then, not only sin. I think I spoke about it the last time as well, but also things that we hear in the Word, we are accountable to. I mean, if you know something, C.S. always says, if you know something, you cannot unknow it. If you know it, you know it. And if you have to share it, you have to share it. You can't hide away from it or just put it in a box somewhere. If you know something, if God spoke to you, you know that thing, and you have to, you are accountable to that truth and that revelation that God placed on your heart to share. And I mean, the time for being afraid to speak up, the time for being afraid to invite people to church, for instance, or the time to be afraid to of being afraid to plant a church in Walvis Bay, it's over. You know? We are accountable to what God placed on our hearts, and we have to follow that. Amen. Amen, bror. It helps a lot when people amen. And then the last thing I want, the last point we have to understand when spending time in the Word and wanting to know more about the Word is love. And that is love as in, when I tell you I love you, and what does that mean to you, versus when I tell you God loves you? If you think about it a bit, Ravi explains it like this. He says that when you love someone and they don't love you back, you hurt. Because you're losing out. You lost something. If I tell you that God loves you and you don't love him back, God hurts. But not because he loses something, because that person that doesn't love him back loses something. And that is the love that we're talking about here. The love that we give without expecting something back. The love that we give to others, even though they're not agreeing with us. They're not standing in agreement with us. Jesus says, love your enemies. And that's the kind of love that I'm talking about. Is that we have to understand what Jesus came to do for us on the cross. And in spending time in the Word, the things will get revealed more and more. But that is what I want to say about love. Okay, so that's basically my message for today. So I just want to speak about the parable of the seed that was sown in Luke 8, verse 11 to 15. I'm just going to quickly go through it. Now, when we spend time in the Word and God speaks to our hearts and we hear the Word of God, even tonight, maybe you've experienced something or the Holy Spirit is pressing something on your heart, that seed can do one of these four things according to this parable that Jesus spoke. It can fall on the road and the birds can eat it up. That's basically the word that's spoken, and it basically is just taken away immediately. So what you hear, what you read in the word, is just like water from a duck's back. Can you say that in English? Water from an inside off, but it's just like you just carry on with your life. Then the second one is it can fall between the rocks where the soil is shallow. So you get very excited about a word. You hear a word and you get very excited about it. But it doesn't last long because the soil isn't deep and you're not rooted concretely into that. Then the third kind is it can fall between the weeds and basically get killed by it and just the weeds just take over. And that comes back to all the outside influences. How many time are we spending on Facebook? How much time are we spending on in the news? And versus how much time are we spending time trusting God and spending time in the Word and trusting God for the answers for the world? Because the world has a lot of answers, a lot of morality, relative moralities. But at the end of the day, where do we spend our time? So that's basically for me the seed that falls between the weeds. And then there's the good soil. And what that verse says is, if you read the last word there, the seeds that fall in the good soil will grow and bear fruit in patience. And that tells me that patience means there's time involved. It's a process to learn the word. And I think we've been pressing it a lot the last few weeks, but Bible school is really a place where we as a church have that tool to really share knowledge and really for us as members to learn in patience, learn and bear fruit in the Word. So, I just want to really encourage you guys to spend time in the Word, and we must use the stuff that we have. We must use our resources that we have as a church. And if you've done it already, it's not something that you just put aside. It's something that we must really be proud of and excited about, because God is using it in this church. He's using the Bible school in the church, and we must get excited about it. And if you haven't done it, do it. And if you have done it already, tell people to do it, because it's awesome. I just wanna end off quickly with what I've experienced of Bible school, and you've seen a testimony just now as well. I did my Bible school at Stellenbosch when I basically had a revival in my own life, and you know, I was just so excited about God and the things of God. So I really had a heart I wanted to learn more. And I think that's also important when you do Bible school, is to be excited about it. And there were things in that time that I did for the first time that I learned from the Word is actually the way to do it, like lifting up your hands when you worship, putting your hands on people when you pray for them, getting baptized. You know, that those are things that if you have any doubt about it, if you do Bible school, there's people that can answer all your questions. I mean, I'll get to that. And then also, I could, from Bible school, from what I've learned at Bible school, I could make a bridge between my life and the Word. Because in the past, it was like my life was here, and Bible and church and everything was here. But then I just realized that, listen, yeah, life is life. there's no aspect of your, this little time is now for God. Your whole life is for God. Everything is for God. And then What I also experienced is at Bible school is that you really get the confidence to talk about the word. I remember at Stellenbosch, after the one teacher gave us a teaching on evolution and everything, I stayed behind and I was like, I want to take this guy on. And that's not always the best thing to do, you know, but just by sharing something with someone, being confident in sharing something out of the word, because you need that confidence to share it. You're planting seeds and you're changing lives and you won't even realize the difference that it makes in people's lives. And then also just the awesome thing about what I experienced about the teachers at Bible school is that they were also led by the Holy Spirit. I don't know how we do it these days, but I know that it will be the same, is that they are focused on your growth and also led by the Holy Spirit to lead them in their teachings, to speak into your life. So it's not just knowledge being taken from a paper and pasted on a teaching. It's actually like led by the Holy Spirit, which is very awesome. Okay, so that's just what I've experienced of Bible school. And I just want to end off tonight to challenge you guys and just ask you, what is your foundation? The word says salvation is a process and we're not all perfect and everything, but not to water it down, but if you feel that, you know, there's some things in your life that you need to sort out with God, and if you feel that you don't know God at all, I just want to encourage you to really come tonight and just come and pray with us. And I mean, we're so few tonight, we can just all stay here and just have a chat. And if there's someone that needs prayer, we are all here to pray. I will stay here in front. And that's it from me for tonight. So it's awesome spending time with you guys. Amen.